Good job, Darren. Been another good Monday show. We got Jackie and Bobby here with us. They are the Angels, and they would do all they, well, they write, they speak, they blog. As a matter of fact, when I go to your website, I'm like, my man, they look like they must be exhausted. There's so much stuff, podcasting and blogging and book writing, and a great deal of it in the service of marriage. Jackie is a, what would we say, songwriter, singer, and
yeah.
is that the right way to say that? Yes.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, songwriter, I'm a worship leader, and a speaker.
And,
yeah.
And Bobby is a failed seminarian. So did I get that right?
Or, amen.
But it's a pretty good way to fail, though. You fail right into marriage. So that's not, you did not fail as a seminarian. You followed a vocation. You followed Jesus, as you say, into the seminary, and Jesus led you into marriage.
Yeah, he's tricky like that.
He is indeed. Let me just, by the way, you can call if you have questions for the Angels, 888-318-7884, 888-318-7884. You have to be patient with me today because I'm learning the new phone system. And you know what? I'm really slow. It's probably going to be a week or a month or 6 months before I get this right. But you're still welcome to call. Just be patient. 888-318-7884. We want to talk about growing in marriage today. And is that the job of marriage, or I guess the way to ask it is, I don't think anybody knows anymore what marriage is for, or the function of marriage, the purpose of marriage. So tell me about growing in marriage.
Do you want to go? Oh, you want me to go? Okay. I mean, it's for holiness, right? Like we talked to a lot of teenagers, young adults. I'm like, listen, I married the guy who I knew was going to help get me to heaven. And, you know, it's not about, lust. It's not about just making each other feel good, but really we're on this journey together. We're running this race together. And, that our marriage, it should be, you know, it should be an image of Christ in the church. So it should show people the goodness, the truth, and beauty of God. And it's not just about us being happy, but that is part of it too, right? I mean, I have to, you know, see this guy every day, so I have to be attracted to him. but it's about growing holiness and, ultimately helping each other get to heaven and the children that we bring into this world as well.
And that getting them to heaven thing, or marriage as a sacrament for getting us to heaven, that is out of favor. People do not, that does not work for marriages to make me happy now, or marriage is for the mutual, I don't know, satisfaction of the spouses so that nobody has to, you know, be alone. That marriage is to get us to heaven thing. I don't know how much of a hearing you're going to get on that.
Right.
Well, and I think that's the uphill battle, but the tremendous good that a married couple can do as messengers, as the priestly celibacy is an image of the kingdom to come. Of a healthy earthly marriage also is cognizant of, like, this isn't it. Like, there's more to life. There's more to what we're called to. By trying to be joyful in the midst of family and children and everything, and the crosses that do come, and to be reminders. I think we can all do our little part to, yeah, remind ourselves that there's more than just this earthly existence. There is the God question, there's the heaven question, and marriage is a part of that.
Right. I always tell, you know, youth and young adults that, you know, marriage also isn't the end all be all. It's really, what I loved about marrying Bobby is that both of us had conversions before we got married, and we both knew that God alone could satisfy us, that Bobby is not my idol. He is not God. I am not God. And so, man, that took a lot of pressure off of our shoulders because, right. You know, we knew that only God could satisfy. No amount of followers on social media, no amount of money, success, popularity, nothing could satisfy us except for God and God alone. So marriage, you know, we're just in this together. And I think when we, you know, speak to youth and young adults, they, a lot of times they just don't have witnesses of a holy marriage or a marriage that's based on Christ. So they see, like, wow, it's possible. You know, that we actually love each other. I think that they realize that the stuff of the world doesn't satisfy, the hookup culture doesn't satisfy. And maybe their parents have been divorced. Someone has cheated. Someone has left or whatever it is. And I acknowledge that, like, listen, like, I know most of you had this growing up, and you do not have to repeat the mistakes of your parents. You know, you don't have to choose to do that in your marriage, but it's going to take sacrifice. It's going to take waiting on God. It's not easy, but it's absolutely worth it.
888-318-7884 is our number. 888-318-7884. Jackie and Bobby Angel are our guests. They have let God write their love story, so to speak. But I, here's the deal. I think I'm actually, when you both speak about it that way, I think many people will be attracted to it, especially young people. But they are either afraid of it or cynical about whether it can it's possible in their life or in most lives, and I think there's also a sense of just fear about entering into marriage.
You bet. And I think I work with a number of good men that are striving to have good holy marriages that do radiate outward and send this message. But you bet, amongst the youth and our own generation, the amount of couples cohabitating, just kind of, we're just going to hang out, live together, maybe never get married, maybe get married, maybe have a kid along the way, but never fully commit, whether that's, again, out of fear, whether that's out of their own experience of seeing divorce and being cynical that it could ever work out. So we're just going to always have one foot out the door. To try again to be a joyful witness of like, yeah, you don't know what life is going to throw at you. You don't know if sickness will come. You don't know of heartbreak or the tragedies, but you go all in anyway. A life lived with one foot out the door. I don't know.
Yeah. And it's funny because in our culture, yeah, we're anti getting married. But then on the other hand, we like worship marriage and we think that marriage is going to fix us and satisfy every problem. And so I always tell single people, I'm like, listen, if you want a happy and healthy and holy marriage, you need to be a happy and healthy and holy person. Like, you know, outside, even before as a single person, because marriage is not going to solve your problems. If anything, they're going to come to the light. You know, I've heard so many stories of people are like, oh, marriage is going to fix my insecurity and it's going to fix my eating disorder and my depression. It's like, no, if anything, it just reveals it. And so, yeah, we have these two opposite ideas of, you know, marriage is awful. But then on the other hand, like, oh, marriage is going to fix all my problems. It's the Disney fairy tale. Right. And the middle of it is, again, you as a person, you know, God wants you to be healthy emotionally. Like, you know, as Catholics, I love being Catholic. We're not anti, you know, getting help, getting therapy. So God wants us to be healthy, but he's also calling to holiness. And that starts before marriage. It's not that you have to be perfect when you get married, but man, your life doesn't start once you get married. Life is happening. And as a single person, I used to think, you know, I could die tomorrow. And so I'm just going to live life to the fullest. And if I die tomorrow, hopefully I'll be in heaven with Jesus. Like, I'll be married in heaven. So, you know.
Yeah. 888-318-7884 is the number. If you have questions about growing in marriage, Jackie and Bobby are just the people you want to talk to. Whatever stage you are in relation to that, if you are young, a teenager or a 20-something or even younger than that, and you have some questions about dating life and what is the way to approach finding a spouse and making that commitment to the spouse and finding a spouse that will make that commitment to you. Or maybe you are already on the journey and you've got difficulties or hardships you'd like to talk about, some help getting over some things. Or maybe you're farther along. Maybe you've suffered some maybe even a breakdown in your marriage. All of those are welcome. 888-318-7884, the number 888-318-7884. This hour, Growing in Marriage with Jackie and Bobby Angel. Right back with your calls right after this.
It's all about the truth. Catholic Answers Live.
Are you a coffee drinker? If so, you can now enjoy a coffee roasted to perfection by the Carmelite monks of Wyoming. Delicious Mystic Monk coffee is roasted and prepared by monks in a hidden cloistered monastery and is available in over 25 varieties. All Mystic Monk coffees are works of perfection and labors of love. For more information on how to purchase Mystic Monk coffee, visit mysticmonkcoffee.com. That's mysticmonkcoffee.com.
Homeschool Connections, an online provider of courses for your Catholic homeschool, is a sponsor of Catholic Answers Live. Homeschool Connections' website is homeschoolconnections.com.
He was a doctor of the church, a Carmelite, and one of the most famous mystics of all time.
Matthew Bunsen and the Doctors of the Church.
St. John of the Cross wanted to help all Christians to become saints. One of his most important teachings was to encourage us all to learn how to love. For there is no love, he said. Put love, and you will find love. He died in 1591.
For more about the Doctors of the Church, visit doctorsofthechurch.com.
Hey, we got that free ebook for you. I don't want to neglect to mention this. You want to talk with non-Catholics about your faith, not about your face. That would be an odd thing. That's an odd conversation to have. You just go over to the main page at shop.catholic.com right now, and you click on the Asking the Right Questions banner to download your free copy of the Catholic Answers Guide to Asking the Right Questions. Asking questions, getting to know people, making friends, hearing what other people have to say, not just with an agenda, but actually hearing what other people have to say. All of these things are part of sharing the good news and sharing the life of Christ. And so we'd love you to have this free ebook. Go over to shop.catholic.com, click on the Asking the Right Questions banner, and get your free copy of the Catholic Answers Guide to Asking the Right Questions. Jackie and Bobby Angel are our guests this hour, and we're talking about growing in marriage. If you have questions about growing in marriage, 888-318-7884 is the number. 888-318-7884. And I wasn't kidding, Jackie and Bobby, about that you do all these things, videos, podcasts, books, blogs, and all that kind of thing. The book is called the Forever. That's kind of your marriage book, right? A Catholic devotional for your marriage. Who's the publisher on that?
We did that through Pauline Books and Media.
Oh, Pauline Books and Media. Okay, so you can get their book, Forever, A Catholic Devotional for Your Marriage, through Pauline Books and Media. There's a bunch of folks that have questions for you. Shall we go to the phones?
Sure.
Okay, fair enough.
Oh, yeah.
Let's start with Melissa in San Jose, California, listening on Ave Maria Radio. Melissa, we have you there with us.
Hi.
Hi, Melissa.
I heard you talking about the goal of marriage being, or at least the primary goal being to get the spouse and children to heaven. And I don't disagree with that, but how would you describe the proof for that?
Oh yeah. So, what evidence do we have of that? That our purpose in marriage is to get our spouse and our children to heaven, or at least do our part anyway.
I mean, I would say Ephesians 5. You know, it says that a husband should love his wife as Christ loved the church, and that actually that's the part that everybody cringes at when it's like, wives, submit to your husband. And the word submit, you know, means to be under the mission. Submission means to be under the mission. And if the mission is the husband is to love his wife as Christ loves the church, it means he should lay his life down for her. So, you know, Ephesians 5 is basically where you go to, because then it says, just as Christ, you know, he cleansed us in the bath of water, referring to baptism, and then he nourishes us with the Eucharist. So husbands, you should do that. Again, we're helping each other be holy. So I think Ephesians 5, go read that. And then the wives submit to your husband. I'm like, dude, that's the kind of mission. You know, I don't want to marry a man who I'm dragging along, because I dated guys like that. And that's where I realized, like, that is not the kind of guy I want to marry. I don't want to marry a guy that I'm dragging along in our faith. I want to marry a guy whose mission it is to lay his life down for me, and who knows that to get me to heaven. So, yeah.
Does that help you?
Yeah, that's great. And then regarding the children, would you say the proof is it comes naturally out of the unconditional love that we have for our children?
Well, I'm thinking of Thomas Aquinas when you say that. I mean, Aquinas, the purpose of life is to be in full communion with God. That's what he invites us all to. And so parenthood has to be about not just making souls, but moving souls to heaven. That's our purpose as parents.
Yeah. Great. That helps a lot. Thank you.
Melissa, thank you very, very much for that call. We go now to Sherry in Wyoming, listening to EWTN on Sirius Satellite Radio, Channel 130. That's EWTN on Sirius. Sherry, you there with us?
Yes, I am.
All right. Your question for the Angels.
My question is, you know, you've been talking about marriage and helping each other get to heaven. Do you have any advice? My husband and I are both cradle Catholics. However, he was never confirmed because his mother gave him the option and he chose not to. We were married in Catholic Church. Our kids are going, we have three kids that have been baptized. Two of them have gone through their first communion. He's very supportive and all that. He didn't even balk at going through marriage prep or anything. But I guess I foolishly thought that maybe, you know, through prayer and stuff, I'd get him to come back to the church. And, you know, we've been married for 11 years now, and he's not. So do you have any advice besides just prayer in helping someone who's reluctant in the marriage to go to church? Sorry.
Yes.
I would say, yes, I was going to say, number one is prayer, because, again, God's grace is so powerful. Prayer is so powerful. And I really think, we actually believe that prayer is efficacious. It actually works. So pray for just the grace, God, to just pour all the graces upon your husband, actually, and always pray for, ask Mary, you know, pour all the graces of faith, hope, love. And then secondly, you know, obviously marriage is built on communication. So, and I think we wrote this book forever, kind of as a way for couples like this, where if you don't know where to start, say, hey, would you be open to reading this book with me? Because basically what the book is, it's basically a page a day. And it's reading about, you know, marriage, the church's teaching on marriage, the beauty of marriage. And then it basically, it has like three questions for the couple, you know, to talk about. And we've had couples who have been married for like, you know, 20 years, 40 years. And they're like, we did this book together. And man, you know, there were questions in here that we never even knew. And we've been married for this long, but it helped us just to talk about maybe things we wouldn't have normally just talked about over the dinner table. I would say just keep inviting, keep praying, always invite your spouse. I know my mom does that with my dad, and my dad, you know, they've been married for almost 50 years. And I know my dad's like, oh, woman, you know, stop asking. But I think, you know, just the invitation, always just to ask, you know, to come to Mass, to come to these things. And then, yeah, something like a book, like, hey, would you want to do this with me? I think it's just the invitation and always continually praying. You're a saint because you're living this life and you're trying to help get your husband along with this. Bobby, do you have any?
Well, not to shamelessly plug the book, but it is a helpful structure. You're exhausted after dealing with work and the kids all day, and to have structure to like have a godly conversation for 6 weeks, one page a day, it's helpful. But what comes to mind too, because men are tough to crack on this, we need other men. So if there's any like manly priest in the area, if you have one at your church that you can invite over for dinner, to start that conversation, or at least get him involved with someone like another guy of faith. If there's any kind of that man is you or alpha, or I'll be on the lookout for like a men's or dad's like day retreat or something that like we need. It's hard to get plugged in unless there's another guy walking with you. I would say it's tough. Again, if there's a dynamic priest or there's a guy that he respects of faith that you could invite over for dinner and kind of ask him to like poke or the questions, and maybe you're not part of it. Maybe, again, it's just like if you can ask a guy to reach out. Sometimes we're more comfortable with other men, especially with the questions of faith. And lastly, the catechism also says that children also have a role in evangelizing parents. So don't doubt that the work you're doing with your children may then boomerang back, God willing, that they're inspiring him. Maybe they're like, hey dad, let's go to Mass, or dad, will you, because I'm a teacher at a Catholic school, and sometimes I get kids that are like, I want to go to Mass, my parents don't go, and no one will drive me like that. Those are the heartbreaking stuff. So sometimes it's the kids that end up bringing parents back to the faith.
Sherry, how's that for you?
That's good. Thank you.
All right. Thank you very, very much, good Sherry. Luck. I wonder if you run into this a lot, because you speak to so many people about marriage. But it strikes me that we see a lot, and we actually hear from that. We get the calls from people who, you know, you get married very often in your 20s or early 30s, and many people are not at that moment, given our current culture, very serious in the practice of their faith. And then one of the spouses kind of starts to come back to the faith or come alive in the faith, and now they feel like they want more of that, and the other spouse is saying, look, that's not where we, like, you're the one changing here. What are your thoughts on that, on this, the fact that people are kind of awakening to the faith after years of marriage, and now they're kind of alone in the faith in marriage?
And that could be a very lonely road.
Yeah.
And I know Scott Hahn has a similar story, and many prominent, I'd say, evangelists maybe who've converted after the fact. That's a testing ground for a marriage in a way.
Yeah, it's definitely a tough thing. You're right. Like, people get married in their early 20s and you don't even really know who you are, but then you have this this experience of God. And yeah, I will say it is possible for that other person. You know, again, it's all grace. It's all a gift from God. Faith is all a gift from God. So I think we have to actually realize that prayer is huge. It's like the biggest part in conversion. It's that God's grace is, yeah, I think we just underestimate the power of prayer. And so I just think we really have to fervently pray for the conversion of the people, especially spouses. But yeah, Bobby is right, is that community is huge. To be in a community of other married couples, of other young adults, or other, you know, people to witness that might be the turning point for somebody in a marriage. When you start hanging out with these people who are faithful men, to see that, like, oh, wow, okay, these are great people, and they love God too. So I think sometimes that's a turning point, is when you see it lived out in other people. So yeah, I would say pray for friends too. Pray for other holy couples to be part of your life, and yeah, and just get involved with church. So
Jackie and Bobby Angel are our guests. Their website, you can visit it right now if you want, jackieandbobby.com. And they have all sorts of materials there that will be helpful to you, including blogs and podcasts and whatnot. And their book, Forever, A Catholic Devotional for Your Marriage. It's one of their books, but that's the marriage book. They also have The Perfect Companion for the Year of Mercy. Remember the Year of Mercy? Beautiful Mercy, Experiencing God's Unconditional Love So We Can Share It with Others. Also a beautiful book there and there. And we're talking about marriage. If you need some help growing in your marriage, if you anticipate being married someday and you would like some proactive advice or direction, you're welcome to call 888-318-7884, 888-318-7884. Up next is Lily in Spokane, Washington. Lily, do I have you there?
Yes.
Lily, your question for the angels.
Yeah, my question is, so my husband and I, we really want to read the Bible together, but how can I make it interesting for us to, like, sit down and read? My husband is new to Christianity, and he doesn't know where to start in the Bible. And we've started from Adam and Eve, and the Old Testament is a lot of stories, and we easily just, you know, doze off. Like, how can I make it interesting? Where should I start?
You don't find Leviticus exciting?
Well, I mean, I would say start with the Gospels. And I had a friend say start with Mark because it's the shortest gospel, you know. But I would say just start with Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Keep going. And yeah, maybe a chapter a day. Just do a chapter a day and read that with each other. Discuss it with each other. Bobby and I actually did a Bible in a year, which is not, I would recommend starting with we've read the Bible a couple times, so that was okay. But it's good to have that kind of accountability, the two of you. But yeah, start with the Gospels. If you want to start with Mark, it's the shortest gospel, and then keep going from there.
Yeah, I would hop into the New Testament, one of the Gospels, or even Acts, because Acts is a lot of crazy stuff I feel like we don't hear about enough. To read one chapter together and then talk about it. Did anything stir there? Is anything really jumping out at us? And see where the conversation goes. It may be quick. It may not, you know, it may be really eye-opening. And then there's a lot of biblical resources out there should you decide to go back and really start looking through the Old Testament and mining those riches. But it's tough, especially if he's brand new. Like, he needs to get familiar with Jesus and those stories before going from Genesis straight all the way through.
There's some wild stories in those Gospels, too, that people are not aware of. Like, it's not just the book of Acts, but sometimes if you haven't read the Gospel, you're like, whoa, I didn't know that happened. Lily, how does that strike you? Start with the Gospels.
Oh, yeah, that sounds perfect.
And you have a good...
I was feeling a little guilty for not reading the Old Testament through, but that's fine.
You know what? You're a true Catholic feeling guilty about reading the Bible, that you're not doing it right. That is a genuine Catholic response to the Bible. Jackie and Bobby Angel are our guests. If you've got questions about growing in marriage, whether you're married or not, whether you're looking forward to it or looking back on it, or you're right in the middle of it, you're welcome to call 888-31-TRUTH.
Catholic Answers Live.
In his new audio presentation, The Very First Fathers, apologist Jimmy Akin takes you on a tour of the earliest Christian writings outside the New Testament. From the most famous figures and most notable works to those lesser known but no less important, this pivotal time in the development of the early church is revealed in fascinating detail. Jimmy shows how, even in the first century after the resurrection, it was necessary to defend and explain truths that are still under attack today, such as the real presence of Christ in the Eucharist and the perpetual virginity of Mary. The Very First Fathers is a compelling look at the dawn of the Christian age and edifying listening for anyone who wants to understand and defend the full truth of Catholicism. Order your copy of The Very First Fathers today by calling 1-888-291-8000, logging on to the shop at Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Love and beauty. As a little girl, Dawn Eden Goldstein knew she wanted those things, that in them, somehow, she would find God. Over the years, as a rock journalist, she moved among some of popular music's best-known artists, straining to capture that transcendent love and beauty in every note and lyric. In Sunday Will Never Be the Same, Dawn recounts her spiritual journey in beautifully wrought detail, mixing powerful accounts of trauma, healing, and epiphany with funny anecdotes from inside the music scene. It is the rare conversion story that delights as it inspires, amuses as it edifies, and ultimately lays before the reader a lived testimony to the transforming grace of Christ. Order your copy of Sunday Will Never Be the Same by calling 1-888-291-8000, visiting the shop at Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Tomorrow on More to Life, guilt aplenty, guilt galore.
Wrestling with Garrett.
Tomorrow on More to Life, guilt aplenty, guilt galore.
Wrestling with regret, struggling with beating up on yourself. We've got the tools to help you catch a break.
Now back to Catholic Answers Live.
Struggling with beating up on yourself. That's what Greg Popcheck said there. That was Greg and Lisa Popcheck, by the way. Nick, in case you didn't know who that was when we're coming back. Talk about struggling and beating up on yourself. I mean, if you are making the effort to read the Bible every night with your husband, a new Christian, and you feel bad about it because you don't know if you started in the right spot, you need to listen to the Pop Checks. In addition to listening to this program, you got to listen to the Pop Checks, and they'll help you get over that. God loves you. God loves you. That's a really hard thing to accept sometimes, but you can have you can take it to the bank. It's 100% guaranteed to be true every time. Our guests this hour, Jackie and Bobby Angel, and they are here to talk to you about growing in marriage. And marriage is getting beat up all over the place. Marriage is getting beat up. And we're feeling, a lot of us, we go through long periods of feeling beat up in our marriages. So if you'd like some help in that regard, whatever stage of life you're in, you are welcome to call 888-318-7884, 888-318-7884. We go now to Tom in Boston, Massachusetts. Tom, you have a question for Jackie and Bobby Angel?
Yes, good evening, and thank you for taking my call.
Happy to.
I don't know if this is relevant or not, but here's my perplexing situation. I got married when I was a young man at the age of 21, 22 years old, and had two children by the time we were 25. At that point in time, my wife decided that she did not want to stay married, and went out and just went out on her own and kind of left me with the two children, and had to kind of raise them myself with my inherent family. Nonetheless, anyway, so that's all well and good. So about 14 years go by, and I find a love of my life, and we get married, and we didn't get married in the Catholic Church because I had been married one time before. But nonetheless, she's a devout Catholic and so on. I attend Mass every morning. My situation is this, though. I always feel guilty about not, you know, being married in the Catholic Church as a result of, you know, this is my present wife's first marriage. We've been married for 27 years now and have a child together, a young man now. And anyway, so I feel guilty about the situation I'm in, and when I take communion every morning, I feel guilty because I feel as if, you know, our marriage is not complete in the eyes of God because of the situation I was in when I first got married.
All right, let's let Jackie and Bobby respond.
For, your first marriage was in the church?
It was, yes.
Have you tried to get it annulled or gone through that process at all?
No, I did not go through the annulment process whatsoever, no.
I mean, I'm going to give you an example of one couple that we know. Actually, they are the ones that formed us for marriage prep. So kind of a similar story where the husband was married before. And then when they got remarried, they both had a conversion, started going to church. And the priest at the church basically said, okay, he's like, I want to marry you in the church. Number one, let's get your first marriage annulled. So but it took about a year for the first the marriage to be annulled. So he basically advised him. Now, this is heroic virtue. I mean, when we talk about, you know, divorce, remarriage and all stuff in the Eucharist, the priest said, here's the deal. If you want to continue receiving the Eucharist, you need to live as brother and sister until you get this marriage annulled. And this couple, they actually said, okay. I mean, they did it. They basically decided to live as brother and sister until they got the marriage annulled. And so basically for a year they did that. And then the marriage was able to be annulled, and the priest was able to marry them in the church together. And they were the people that actually were our, they were the ones that prepped us for marriage. And I was just like, wow, that's heroic virtue. So I don't know if anyone's told you, like, it can't be annulled, but I would say it's definitely worth looking into so that you can get this current marriage into the church. I don't know, Bobby, what would you add to that?
Well, I would affirm you, again, heroically taking on the task of raising these kids for 14 years on your own with your family. I mean, that's great sacrifice, and that's great love right there. Again, we're not the creators of this. We're just the messengers. But Jesus had strong words when it came to, like, marriage and the goodness of it. And, I would urge you to look into that annulment process to get that conversation going, to see if it's possible to see that there was immaturity or, again, for whatever reason that your wife left. You know, those would be unique circumstances to look at, but to make an effort here.
Tom, does your pastor know your situation? Have you run it by the pastor at all?
I have not run it by the pastor at all. And, you know, and my wife and myself, like I said, we go to Mass, you know, daily. But I have not run it by my pastor, long and short of it. I mean, we have a 23-year-old son together, and so obviously have the mixed effect of living as brother and sister, or we have, you know, a 23-year-old, but I get the message that you're saying, to try and go through the annulment process. I don't know what that makes my two initial children, then does that make them, you know, the B word, the bastard word?
No, no, it most certainly does not. It has no effect on the status of your children, because at the very least, there's two levels of marriage. There's the sacramental marriage and there's the civil marriage. And any child of any civil marriage doesn't have to have the B word applied to them, as no child ever should. But so you don't have to worry about that. But maybe there's a deacon or somebody who knows canon law who can just tell you what the next steps are. Because you know what's right and what's wrong. You know what needs to be done. I think Jackie and Bobby have been very clear, have stated it quite clearly to you. But you need to find a member of the clergy, whether deacon or priest, that you can run your situation by and get some help, because you can get help. All right, Tom?
No, I appreciate you guys pushing the envelope. I'll take it to the next level. And thank you very much for taking my call. I truly appreciate it, guys. God bless.
All right. God bless you, brother.
Would I add, shouldn't it be also one ought to, like, abstain from communion until that's all rectified, right?
That exactly, yes. As long as one is in an objectively irregular situation, I don't know what the extreme situations are. Clergy people can help with those things. I mean, I don't know what if somebody doesn't know if the spouse is alive or dead. Or I mean, there's all kinds of. So we never like to give. You got to do this. But you're exactly right. If you're married in the eyes of the church to one person. But that's not the person you're living with. Refrain from the reception of the sacraments until you can get that straightened out.
And you know, I will give another glory story. We met a woman who she basically, her husband, she had been married before, and I think her husband had married a couple times before, and her son, and she did not, for 16 years, she has not received, she goes to Mass every Sunday, but she doesn't receive the Eucharist because she knows she's still married to their previous husband. But her son was the one, her son, as he grew up, they had a great priest at their parish. It was the priest who, you know, was a spiritual director of the son, and the son was like, Mom, you need to get your previous marriage annulled. Uh-huh. And because she was afraid, again, that he would be, you know, like, what would happen to my child? And he was like, Mom, no, that doesn't, again, affect your, you know, me, but you need to get your marriage annulled. And so I just thought how beautiful. It was her son that was the one urging her to do that, so that her current marriage could be blessed in the church, you know?
Indeed. And Tom didn't tell us that he was going to communion. He said he's going to Mass, and everybody should go to Mass. If you're excommunicated, right. Go to Mass. If you're the worst sinner in the world, go to Mass. Right. Jesus wants you there. He wants to pour out his love on you. But we didn't ask the question, and he didn't tell us about reception of communion. But so just so that the listener is clear, the teaching of the church is not unclear on this point. Reception of the communion is something you should refrain from until you are in an objectively clear state, as we all should. I mean, one of the things, I don't know if you do, you all are Southern Californians too. I go to Spanish language Mass, I go to English language Mass. In Spanish language Mass, everybody doesn't get up and go to communion every time. There's a lot of people who seem to feel, well, I need to go to confession first or something like that. So maybe we should also be a little bit more sensitive about that. Bobby and Jackie Angel are our guests. We're talking about growing in marriage. Your calls are welcome. 888-318-7884 is the number. 888-318-7884. All right, now, Catholic Answers magazine's on sale, and you should get it. It's one of the best Catholic magazines in the world. Well, it's one of the best magazines in the world. Who am I kidding? You can get $10 off a one-year subscription, $20 off a two-year subscription, or $5 off the all-digital subscription when you go to CatholicAnswersMagazine.com right now. Get it for yourself. Maybe get it for somebody else. Hey, maybe get a subscription for your dad for Father's Day. You just go to CatholicAnswersMagazine.com and get that $10 off the one-year subscription, $20 off two, or $5 off the all-digital subscription right now.
Let us help you with your question today on Catholic Answers Live.
Do you love sharing the gospel and want to learn to be more effective? Join the St. Paul Street Evangelization Online School of Evangelization. You will learn to build bridges of trust and make disciples by befriending strangers, proclaiming the gospel, inviting people to the church, and praying with others. We'll ask for a pledge of financial support, but if you are unable to give, we'll give you a membership at no cost. Find out more and get involved today at streetevangelization.com. That's streetevangelization.com.
The leading Catholic voices are on EWTN Radio.
I'm really a revert. There are a lot of converts on Catholic radio, a lot of reverts, those who have come back to the faith. And ever since I came back to a practice of my faith, I started praying the rosary, going to even daily mass. God has led me on an amazing journey and used me in a lot of incredible ways that I never dreamed would have been possible.
Take Two with Jerry and Debbie, tonight, midnight Eastern, on EWTN Radio.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Let me tell you the book title again, Forever, A Catholic Devotional for Your Marriage. That's one of the books from Bobby and Jackie Angel, but it's the one probably most connected to what we're talking about today. You can get it at their website, jackieandbobby.com, or you can get it probably wherever good Catholic books are sold. You probably get it where bad Catholic books are sold, too. It's called Forever, A Catholic Devotional for Your Marriage. This is something, I got to get this book, because this is something my wife loves, is the thing that you can briefly read in the evening and kind of be recentered, you know, on the things that mattered. And do it together.
Mm-hmm. And there's, it's like a page and a half at most.
All right, well, that's kind of long for me. But I'm, if...
Well, she could read it to you.
She could read
it. Yeah,
yeah, there you go.
There's a prayer or saint quote, and I think it may be some questions that...
It's like always questions and then like a challenge.
So the goal is, to give you some structure, but not scare you off. You could give to someone who's left the church or is far from the church or just coming back.
Or even as a wedding present, you could give it to a couple.
Or engagement formation was also kind of the thought too. Like, oh, we want this to apply to if you're dating, if you're not dating, or if you've been married for 30 years, you'll get something out of it, hopefully.
Yeah.
But I think the underlying message of the fact that you produced this book and that you produce all the other things that you produce, you got to work on growing in faith as a couple together. If you're not doing something to grow together, I mean, maybe watch some videos from EWTN or one of the other Lighthouse Media or whoever, but something that helps you grow together in your faith, then you're missing a great opportunity in marriage.
And I think it's beautiful, the fact that we have the liturgical seasons as a church. It's awesome because during Lent, we communicate with each other, like, what are you going to do individually? And then what do we do together as a couple or as a family? And then every stage of life, we have to re-communicate, how do we like praying alone, like separately, and how do we like praying together? Because every couple and every person, has different preferences on how they pray best. For me, when it comes to the rosary, I don't like praying the rosary in groups because I like to actually just sit and meditate on the, sometimes with groups it goes too fast. So I like to take my time, meditate actually on the mysteries and do a scriptural rosary. So every person's different and every couple is going to be different, but it's really about communicating. Again, communicating, that's the number one thing. Like, it's always been said that why people get divorced is because a lack of communication. And it's a sad thing when people feel like they can't talk to their own spouse about something so deep, right? Like the deepest part of us, which is our faith. And it's scary. It can be scary. But again, to say like, hey, how can we pray together, pray for each other? Hey, would you like to do this novena with me? So it's stuff like that. Or would you like to do the Divine Mercy Chaplet with me or with our kids, once a week or something like that?
Or just get the book Forever, A Catholic Devotional for Your Marriage, and just stick it on the coffee table. Don't say anything.
Hey-o,
just leave it there.
Yeah,
see what happens. We're ready to go back to callers. Before I do go back to callers, the internet wants to know how long the two of you have been married.
Oh, wait, hold on. Bobby's getting the exact.
Oh, he's got it on his.
We have an app.
You have an app for how long you've been married?
I look sweet, but it's really a countdown app that was to the wedding that I never deleted, but now it counts backwards.
Yeah. That is so awesome.
So as of today, we've been married 5 years, 10 months, and 2 hours.
Right, yeah.
Well, that 2 hours has been...
Of pure bliss.
Of pure bliss, right.
5 years, 10 months, and 2 hours of pure bliss.
And three children.
Conflict.
And three children, yeah.
Up first, we got Jackie in New York here to talk to Jackie and Bobby. Jackie, your question, please.
Hi. I just have a quick question. I met a really great guy. We're not young. We're in our 40s, and I waited a really long time to meet somebody this decent, and he's great. We pray before meals. We'll do the rosary together, and he loves Jesus. He's a good man, but it's me. I'm kind of struggling with his relationships in the past and how much intimate relationships he's had, you know?
No.
So his, can you say sexual history? I don't know.
No, you can't. You cannot say that.
Okay,
so
thank you.
Let's hope you don't.
I've been pure. I've been, my friends can't believe it. You know, nobody can believe that, you know, I haven't, but I just feel, and he's very serious. He talks about the future. I think he's all in, but I'm sort of hesitating, and in a way, I'm kind of annoyed too. That, do you know what I mean?
That he didn't wait for you.
History. Like, why couldn't you just wait? You know.
Fair enough, Jackie. What do you say, Bobby and Jackie?
Oh my gosh! Well, we just did a YouTube. So we do videos on Ascension Presents every week on YouTube, and we just did a video about this, dealing with your partner's sexual history, and basically
so you can't say on the air.
Yeah. You can't
say
twice
sexual history
on air. Sorry. Yeah. Okay. So I was a virgin when we got married. Bobby was not. It's not something he was proud of, you know, this kind of stuff. So I dealt with that same thing. Like, how do you deal, you know, how do you walk through this? And I will say, Bobby was very humble about, like, anytime I had any kind of questions or because the thing is, it's pride. It was my pride. That the devil always is like, oh, well, Jackie, he's going to compare you with them. He's going to have memories. He's going to do this. And then on Bobby's side, the devil would come into him saying, you're not good enough for her. You know, you're damaged goods. So the devil's a jerk. Okay. So first of all,
right.
it's our pride. And we have to see, for me, I knew that Bobby had gone to confession. I knew he was a new creation. I knew that he wasn't proud of it. You know, it wasn't something that he was still like, I'm proud of this. So in the past, I had dated guys who weren't remorseful for their past. And that was a completely different story, you know. But with Bobby, the love of my life, I was like, God, I want to see him as you see him. And I know I've waited. And so I think it was just growing in humility, and it was being able to communicate that, and that Bobby, you were so, receptive and humble about it, and you were willing to talk with me about it. And yeah, I don't know what you want to share from your
perspective. Well, I would just say that, there's gotta be a willingness to put yourself in each other's shoes. One, for him to understand, yeah, you've waited and you haven't spontaneously combusted, and you've had to deal with ridicule and whatever comments you've had to put up with. And, but Jackie did such a good job of when she would ask, she would not ask for every gory detail, but just like, and so I had to be honest, and she wouldn't press it. She wouldn't press for, again, everything under the sun to be known, because she's seen, like, you've beaten yourself up enough about this. I'm not here to do so. But I had to put myself in her shoes, and also for the sake of healing, be transparent when she needed me to be.
Jackie, your comments.
Yeah, I think that's great. And I love what Jackie said, too, about seeing him as God sees him. So, and we've never had this discussion yet. So I've been hesitant to bring it up because I'm almost afraid to know, like, you know, like how much. But
well, you don't, I don't know how you feel about this, Jackie and Bobby, but you don't have to know. I mean, there's no rule book that says, I need a number and a footnote on everything. It is possible to move forward without that and just live life.
Yeah, I would say the same thing. I mean, yeah, because I think as women, a lot of times, we just play it over and over in our head, right? Until it's like, oh my gosh, he's been with this many women. Yeah, we don't need to know every detail. But yeah, to have a discussion and say, listen, this is what I'm dealing with on my side. And I just want to let you know that this is something I need to, like, I realized that it's, you know, it was my insecurity. Again, it's my pride that I needed to be healed of that insecurity, that pride. Again, that I needed to learn to love Bobby with the mercy and the same kind of love that God has. So yeah, I would say you bring it up and then come from the perspective of just, you know, this is what I'm dealing with, just to let you know. And like, I love you very much. And again, like, going forward, like, I don't need to know everything. But yeah, just to have an honest discussion and see, you know, see what he says.
Jackie, your response.
Great. Yeah, that's great. I think that's really good. And I never even considered not pressing for a number. You know,
don't torture yourself.
You have to know every single thing about the person before you really get that far into a life commitment, you know?
Yeah, I'm coming up on 25 years of marriage, and you never know every single thing. And there's another good thing, too, by the way, if you're worried about memories and all of that. In your 50s, you can't remember anything. So you will both have that advantage. That's coming up, Jackie. All right. I hope I didn't make too light of it. Is that all right, Jackie?
Yes, that's terrific. Thank you so much, all of you, and God bless.
God bless you, too. I appreciate it very much, Jackie. Let's see if we can get somebody else in here. Let's go to Vince in St. Louis, Missouri, listening on the Covenant Radio Network. Vince, we got you there with us?
Hi.
Vince, go ahead with your question.
I'm connected. Okay, sweet. So I had a quick question in regards to kind of consistency of prayer in marriage. I've been married for like almost 2 years, so it's been good so far. But in terms of like, how did you guys find a way to kind of keep consistency praying together? Just because it's been difficult, I would say. Not that I count or anything, but maybe 70-80% of the time, like, we're consistent on praying at the end of the night, at least. But trying to develop something more, can you talk a little bit about that path and journey that you guys have taken in terms of growing in prayer together on a kind of consistent?
Yeah. I mean, we're not perfect. Like, we have to kind of go back to the drawing board all the time, you know, because we're still figuring out. And with every child that comes, we're like, all right, let's figure out, you know, how we can pray best together. So I think it's just a constant discussion. We don't have all the answers. We're constantly figuring out how we can continue to pray. And I think, again, the church is wise in the fact that with the liturgical seasons, we're like, all right, hey, you know, the Pentecost novena is coming up, or like this particular thing. So the church is kind of, again, the liturgical seasons are what help us to always bring us back to that place. But you know, I think when you realize you're not praying together, it's always like, oh, hey, you know, what can we do to pray together? Like, how can we, you know, draw closer to each other again? Because we've kind of been drifting apart. So I think it's a constant communication. Bobby, what would you say?
And don't be afraid to change it up per month or per, again, season. What worked last month may not work this month, or it's become rote or dry. So don't, you know, whether that's a spiritual book or spiritual reading from a saint or the rosary. I would say, too, if kids are in the picture, it definitely moves into like quality over quantity. If you can do like a decade of the rosary with your spouse quietly, that's a miracle.
Yeah.
But some of our favorite saints, Fulton Sheen, St. Therese, you look at their lives, they remember clearly their childhoods with great joy, but praying the rosary as a family seems to always stick out. So again, even if you prefer to do it individually, again, if kids are in the picture, I think seeing mom and dad pray the rosary, even a decade of it, is a powerful witness for them. But I'd say as a couple, yeah, I mean, kudos to you for 70-80%, and then just be aware of like, oh shoot, this has been a bad week. Let's get back on it.
Yeah, I know a couple that they basically every Sunday they kind of reconnect, like, okay, just to look over the week, you know, what's coming up for us this week, you know, what do we need to do? How can we pray with each other, pray for each other? So again, it's communication and not being afraid to bring that kind of stuff up. But trying new things, trying again, different devotions, date nights, whatever you can do. So yeah, we don't have all the answers on this because again, we're not, because of life, you know, we just have had different things come in. Bobby got a master's degree and that was nuts. And then, or he finished his master's degree and then, you know, kids, we had a third kid. It's just all these things kind of, you have to recalibrate every time on, but again, I think the devil wants you to stop praying completely. So it's when you start noticing those things, you're like, okay, let's come back to the drawing board and see what we can do together.
Vincent, we'll have to leave it there. You can probably hear the music. Thank you very, very much for the call. Our guests this hour have been Jackie and Bobby Angel. You go to jackieandbobby.com to find out all about them. Jackieandbobby.com. The book we mentioned is Forever, a Catholic devotional for your marriage. I'm pretty sure my wife and I will be reading it together very soon. Jackie and Bobby Angel, thank you both very, very much.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, it's been fun.
I hope we can have you on again. I sometimes feel we need to use this program and all of our Catholic media to really help marriage more. It's in a crisis, and we got to help people. I just can't thank you enough for coming on and doing it. Hey, tomorrow, 2 hours of open forum. You got a question about the Catholic faith, we're going to do everything we can to get you an answer. See you then, God willing, on Catholic Answers Live.